Hi, and welcome to The Parent Equation with me, Aisha Murray, the podcast series where working parents share their unique stories of raising a family alongside their career. From complete career changes to parental rights, from IVF to single parenting, each episode is inspiring, and I'm so grateful to all my guests for being so candid. Parenting isn't easy, but we're all in it together. So on today's episode, I'm joined by Sue Moore. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you, Aisha. Really looking forward to chatting.
That'd be great. Now, Sue is a self-employed consultant with Growth County. You're also soon to be a director of a major franchising brand, TBC naming in the future. You've been an entrepreneur, you've been self-employed, and you've had a corporate career, and you have three grown-up kids or older children. So we've got a lot to talk about, cover a lot of different areas, I'm sure. I think the first thing I want to ask you, which is something you mentioned to me when we first met a couple of months ago, was that you felt you left it quite late in your career and your life to really understand your why and understand, I suppose, maybe what your purpose was for your business, for your career. Let's start about sort of investigating that a little bit more, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's probably something that people think about more now. What are their personal values? What's their why? What's their purpose? You know, when I was younger, the reality was I went from school to college with very little qualifications, really. And then jobs weren't that difficult to come by.
Yes.
So you wanted to start earning money and you tended to start your first job, and things mobilized from there. There wasn't particularly a great deal of thought around it. Certainly there wasn't for me anyway, coming from a, you know, working class background. Yeah. But as my career journey went on, and certainly as I met other entrepreneurs and mentors and, you know, really great people who influenced me, it becomes apparent that actually the better you know yourself, the better you can find a match for the direction that you want to go in. So on the occasions where I've been less happy with, you know, a corporate culture or a particular line manager, when I've stepped back from that and really looked at the reasons why, it started to become apparent to me that it was about my values. Yeah. Perhaps the company didn't feel as if it had got integrity. Perhaps the company didn't feel as if there really were promotional opportunities. Whatever it might be, it was jarring with my values. So I would encourage everybody to have that conversation. I would encourage parents to have that conversation with their children and say, what do you care about in the world? What do you, even at 11, 12 years old, start a conversation around the dinner table. What are the things you feel passionate about? And talk about the wider world, because this is where your purpose could influence the direction that you go in. What are your values? What are the things about your friends that you really, really find of value? And what would be the deal breaker? What would a friend or someone that you know need to do to really upset you to make that friendship no longer work? That's the way you can talk to younger children about values. And the why really is, why are you doing what you're doing? What is it that you want out of life? How do you want to shape your future life? If you imagine the power of having that conversation with young adults and continuing that conversation, they've got such a better chance of doing something rewarding with their life.
Yeah, and also when they are younger, even I said 11 or 12, or young adults, they also haven't, I suppose, they haven't got all the cynicism that maybe we do when we're older, and they haven't got those expectations already sort of weighing them down. Well, they do hopefully have a bit of a freer mind to start really thinking about the possibilities.
Absolutely, and also it gives them a longer road into finding out about options and other ways of living your life and other ways of doing things. You know, case in point, really, myself, I really didn't have too many people to look at in terms of corporate career to get any inspiration from. So it was what I would call a run-of-the-mill job with where I started with no particular direction. Whereas I think, I know my own children had a wide circle of influence and lots of people that they could reach out to in terms of what direction to go in. Still not perfect, because I think it's something, I think there's a real big gap in all of this across education as well as parents. And for me, with my children, I only know what I know. So I can only talk to them about career options and other things like that in terms of my own experience.
But do you think then that entrepreneurship, that's the right word, it's obviously, I suppose, rife now with the sort of advent of social media and LinkedIn being as big as it is, and just the general opportunities to start your own thing, and the backing and the support from various different organisations is bigger, definitely, than when I was leaving school. So do you think that is a big part of it, that actually younger adults now are being exposed to the possibility of being an entrepreneur and having your own thing and running your own business more than we would have been when we were kids at school?
Absolutely. I mean, they're exposed to the plethora of opportunities on social media. So, you know, even if we're not having a conversation, you can be sure that they're seeing it. I look at I'd got a couple of books out, because I thought if we were talking about books, and one of them's cooking, one of them is starting your own business, things like that, the amount of developmental books, i.e. books that are, I want to change something, I want to learn something about me, etc., really opens up the opportunity. So I think the reality for young people now is, if they want to be self-employed and just want to create something themselves, there are lots of places that they can go for coaching and mentoring and financial support and all of that, you know, the Prince's Trust to name but one. Then you've got the opportunity of franchising, which is a big industry in the UK, or big sector, as it is globally. And then you've got opportunities that come up further down the line. Maybe you've been working for a year or two. Maybe you thought of a new idea or a different take on something. And, you know, there's things like 30 under 30, which are really accomplished young entrepreneurs who are making such a big difference. You're going to be inspired, aren't you, by that, and look at it. Now, if you've not come up with the next big thing that's going to rock everybody's world, then there are other ways to become self-employed. I mean, if you went down an accountancy route, clearly you could become self-employed, couldn't you? There are ways and ways of you working in a way which fits with your lifestyle better. But with accountancy, you've got to go and get your experience first, you know, before you do it, I would suggest. Most things you would have to do that. But then you've also got franchising, and franchising is more accessible now than ever in terms of the demographic and the age group. When I started getting involved with franchising 30 years ago, it was very much van, man, polo shirts, and incredibly male-dominated. Whereas now, there are over 900 systems in the UK, so that's 900 different opportunities. There are more than 48,000 people who are business owners using franchising as a vehicle. So, and in terms of initial investment, you know, it could be anywhere between £5,000 to invest in a franchise and be able to have your own territory. Through to, you know, £500,000, £1 million and beyond for some of the bigger brands. So that's a serious opportunity for people who want to work for themselves but haven't got a particular idea or passion to follow up on.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? It sounds to me like that's because I've looked into several franchises over my varied career, trying to, well, I did leave my career in marketing, which I wanted to do for quite a long time. So I explored franchising, various options. They didn't kind of, I suppose the numbers for me didn't stack up at the time, it wasn't right. Then I ended up retraining, becoming a coach. So that's all worked out fine. So I suppose the franchising, as you're describing it, is a great way to step into working for yourself, but with a support and with a, I suppose, a framework around it that is proven. So you know you're going into a business that's going to work rather than risking it all and starting something entirely from scratch, I guess.
Absolutely. And it's a community. I think when we leave the corporate world, number one is usually the financial concerns that you've got around it. But somewhere in, you know, your top five concerns will be community. You'll have had colleagues, you'll have been used to working in a team. And the good thing about starting up a business within the franchise sector is within whatever brand you join, you've now got colleagues in the community immediately. And then within the wider franchise community, you can make a lot of contacts and connections as well. And it's very much about sharing. That's been my experience, is that people within the community are very willing to share how well they're doing in business, any great ways of doing things that can be an improvement, sharing stories, the awards and things like that. So it's a great industry. It's one that's worth considering alongside other ways of becoming self-employed, being entrepreneurial, building your own business, for sure.
Yeah. Because being self-employed, to that point about community, being self-employed without a franchise around you, as I am, as lots of us are, can be quite a lonely business. Because as you say, you leave behind a corporate career potentially where you had colleagues and teams and nights out and pre-pandemic Christmas parties and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And now it's just you potentially for a while, and there are no team drinks. There's no weekly catch-ups, and you have to create that for yourself. Then you have to create that network and go out there and sort of find a new community. Whereas I suppose, again, as you're saying with franchising, it's something that is there for you to step into.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the key benefits in franchising is the ability to access conversation, collaboration, but also the numbers. Because where if you're building a business yourself, and I know because I've done it, I've only got myself to measure those numbers against, my revenue, my gross profit, my costs, my net profit. I'm looking at one set of numbers and that's mine, and going, is it good? Yeah. Am I doing well?
Yeah.
Not really sure. But within franchising, if you've got 100 franchisees, it is likely that the franchisor will encourage benchmarking.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, you should, at this stage, you should be achieving a turnover of this. At this stage, you should be achieving a cost base of X percent. Those kind of things are incredibly helpful. And, you know, quite unique to franchising, really. And that's where it wins, and it can help people to win.
Yeah,
and of course, you know, there's regional meetings, national meetings, and all of that. So you really can build. I've seen some cracking friendship forged within the world of franchising, and people really rallying for each other. So it's fantastic. And that's where I'm going to be remaining for the near future in the world of franchising, because hopefully you can see I'm quite passionate about
it. Yes, you are, absolutely, which is great.
It's a great opportunity. Having said all of that, for anybody who is considering being self-employed, or they've got an idea and they're going to set up their own business, you know, networking pre-COVID would quite often involve you're paying a small amount of money, going along to an event, standing in a corner with your cup of coffee, trying to juggle that and your PIN badge, and looking and thinking, will somebody come and speak to me? And I think that actually we've been done a favour with virtual networking. I wonder, you know, because you're in a position where this is the kind of thing you're doing, whether you feel as I do that actually virtual networking has eased the journey for people who are working for themselves.
Definitely. And we, I mean, a good example is us. We would never have met if it hadn't been for virtual networking and podcasting and, you know, just meeting remotely. That wouldn't have happened, because physically we're two different ends of the country.
Yeah.
in different industries, it's unlikely we'd have met at any sort of physical event. So the net, again, back to that network and community point, creating a network community, as you say, should now actually be easier. It's not quite the same. It's not physical. It'd be lovely to meet you face to face and have a real cup of tea.
I'm sure we will.
Exactly. But at least for now, just getting those introductions and expanding the network in that way as a self-employed entrepreneur or whatever business you're in is certainly very, very valuable. Yeah. So just going back to you talking about, we were talking about younger kids and young adults and getting them to sort of embrace their passions and see what drives them and what might be a future career path for them. But we talked about you being late, feeling like you get a bit late to the party. Mm-hmm. And as I said, there are many, many of us who are, I guess, stuck in, not always stuck in careers, but in careers potentially we just fall into, and it wasn't a passion and it just paid the bills and we carried on. So when we do have the cynicism and the sort of fear, I suppose it becomes fear, of wanting to change, in your experience and what you did, how did you overcome that fear and get that confidence to say, actually, I am going to follow my true purpose now? How did you make that happen?
I honestly think it probably comes back to, even though I'd not identified my personal values, and even though I didn't really understand my own why, and I really do wish that I'd sat down sooner and thought about it, there was something intrinsic there. So as a foreign, and also external influences, you know, things happen in life and you've got to cut your cloth accordingly. So sometimes your hand's forced, isn't it? Mm. So for me, you know, I can certainly identify some key points. So as I say, my first job, it just arrived and I gave it everything I had. Didn't have a great deal to give really, other than me, because I've got no experience. But it was a small business.
Yep.
Quite interesting, really, that the first company I worked for was what you described as an SME. Okay. And I'm still passionate about helping SMEs to succeed, because most franchisees are SMEs. What that allowed me to do was it allowed me to get involved in customer service. It allowed me to get involved in selling. It allowed me to get involved in technical drawings and engineering. And it allowed me to get involved in accountancy. So there was an accountant who used to come into the business called George. And he very kindly showed me how to do bookkeeping. And at this point, I was 17, 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I realized was I was pretty good with numbers. Mm. And because he was open to showing me, now you could say, if that was these days, was he a mentor? Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But because he took the time to show me and I was open to learning, that meant that a little bit further down the line, I actually did my accountancy qualification and started to move from what could have just been, I guess, a generalist career. Maybe I was heading for office management or something, down the finance route. And that was indeed what I did. And then you know, I found myself in a position where I had a relationship, had a beautiful baby, but that relationship didn't work out. And I was a single mum for a while. And when I was a single mum, I had a full-time job, had a part-time job. I was doing my accountancy qualifications and I was, you know, bringing up my daughter. It wasn't for a huge period of time. I think it was about a year and a half, something like that. But the fact that I needed money to feed us both and look after us actually meant that I had to do part-time job as well as a full-time job.
Yep.
Now, the part-time job happened to be more along the lines of promotions and sales. And a little bit further down my career, I moved out of finance into sales. And again, I was lucky. There was a guy called Mike who headed up the sales team, and I went to him and said, I really like the idea of this and think I can earn more money. Can you, you know, show me how to do it? Can I get involved? And he supported me to move into sales. So I think I would say to anybody, don't assume because you started on that road, you've got to stay on that road.
Yep.
You absolutely don't. Don't assume if life throws you a curveball that that's it and that's where it ends. And if you're struggling, you're going to stay there. You write your own story. That doesn't have to be the case. Yep. And never be frightened of asking the question. Be prepared, because the answer that comes back could be no. Never, ever, ever be frightened of asking somebody to back you, help you, show you, teach you. Always ask.
And I imagine, I mean, I'm sure there are more people who will help and teach and support than who wouldn't. I'm sure if you ask a question, I think people would be quite amazed, actually, and I suppose proud that there are actually a lot of people out there who are very willing to help others succeed and lift people up and move them forward and give them their advice free of charge. I think there's a lot of people like that in the world. We just don't, like you said, don't ask for it, I guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we hold problems and sometimes hold them close to our chest, assuming that there isn't a solution. And, you know, we cogitate and procrastinate and beat ourselves up. And I say that having done it myself plenty of times as well. But actually, there are always people who care enough or will help. I mean, you're saying, you know, more people would want to help than not. Again, Northern Power Women has got hundreds of fabulous people who mentor other people, young people, yes, women in business, etc. The Prince's Trust, excuse me, Aisha, is also built on volunteers, enterprise mentors, enterprise coaches. So, you know, there are a wealth of people who are willing to pay it forward and help and support. And why wouldn't you? You know, if you played a positive part in somebody's journey.
Yeah, fabulous. Yeah. And I think, again, that's the thing, it's just overcoming the fear of asking that question or putting yourself out there and saying, actually, I don't know much about this. Can someone help? I think we find it quite hard as human beings to admit we don't know something, or, you know, just afraid if we ask a question we might get the wrong answer or might sort of go down a path we're not sure about. But actually just taking that step and being a bit braver potentially could pay dividends when you actually end up on the right path and you think, oh my god, should have done this years ago, should have made that change years ago.
Absolutely. And I was listening to podcast that you did with a lady who was talking about just because you're starting working for yourself, it doesn't have to be everything. You can start in bite-sized pieces was what she said. Lindsay Gould. And I thought, you're absolutely right. So when I'd been working with a company, a manufacturing company, as a sales director. Mm-hmm. And I'd gone into the business knowing that there was an exit plan. Mm-hmm. So it was going to be a finite, you know, amount of time. And I was there to help grow the business and it would be sold ultimately. And that happened within 2 or 3 years. And I was at a point then where I did actually feel as a working mum that I'd missed out on some of the things that I wished I'd been there for my two older children. Mm-hmm. And at that point, they would have been about 11 and 16, 17. Yeah. My youngest was sort of 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. And I thought, if I don't do something now that's going to keep me at home, because I've travelled a lot, I'm going to regret it.
Yep.
And I don't want to. Yep. So I actually didn't get another job. Mm-hmm. after the business had sold, and financially I wasn't completely secure or anything like that, so I needed to do something. But I actually started doing a little bit of consulting, and set up an eBay shop selling party items, and set up a children's party business, hoping the children's party business was going to be the vehicle that would grow. Mm-hmm. And it did. And I was working, you know, I was still working 7 days a week. But the difference was I got up in my own bed most days and was there to have breakfast with my youngest and you know, drop her at school and things like that. All of which I have missed out on quite a lot, in all honesty, Aisha. So, you know, yeah, sometimes you have got to be a bit braver. But that I worked hard at it, and that meant I could stay at home for 5 years.
Yeah.
Running my own business, and it served a purpose. Now, that didn't become my everything and my complete future and make me a millionaire-ess. It didn't. It was a successful business that I grew to a certain level, and it met the needs at the time. When the time was right, I then took up a corporate job again.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so you did it on your terms, what worked for you at the right time.
Yeah. And I, you know, again, like, anybody can do that. Who says that you've got a corporate career, you've got to stick with corporate? Who says if you've become self-employed, you've got to stick with self-employed?
Yeah.
Don't think you do. The skills, the soft skills that you gain in those settings are the things that can cross over and take you where you want to go, I think.
Yeah. And as you say, as Lindsay put it, who says that you're not allowed to explore a passion on the side of your main job to see where it might go? So you might not be spending that much time on it because you haven't got that much time, but it might be enough time, as small little steps of investigating something you're passionate about that might then grow into a longer term business, or it might not. And if it doesn't, that's fine too. But it's, I suppose, just keeping your options open, isn't it? And being open to the possibilities that might be around you.
I think so. The other thing is, I was listening to a podcast you did with a lady who's over in the States who seems to be talking about a remarkable sort of family-friendly solution. Oh,
that's today's episode with Hayley.
There we go.
Yeah. Hot off the press, Sue. Thank you. Well done. For listening. This is that straight hot off the press.
So I was listening to that and thinking, wow, you know, she's painting a picture of such a forward-thinking employer.
Mm-hmm.
Equally then, when I was reflecting on sort of the conversation that you had with Lindsay, I was thinking, you know, people use this term side hustle.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't it be good if you developed a relationship with your employer or at least with your line manager where you could say, as a corporate job, I'm fully invested in what I'm doing. I am not looking for another corporate job somewhere else, but I've got this passion. And all things being equal, I would love to think I might be able to explore this and build it. And in 3 years' time, it could turn into something. Now, that would presumably help the line manager by thinking, right, okay, well, you've let me know what your kind of career thoughts and intentions are at this stage.
Yeah.
So that might mean I need to do different things in other areas of the team. And equally, you've been above board. So if you've got something on social media, you don't have to keep this thing hidden. And I think it is possible sometimes to have those conversations.
Yeah, I think so. And actually, that's also quite timely for another podcast that's coming out. It's not out yet, Sue, so you can't listen to it quite yet. But with a lady called Karen Taylor, who runs a fantastic parenting platform called Parent Cloud. And I'm a coach on it. And they work with employers to offer working parents everything from coaching to fertility consulting to nutrition advice to sleep training, or anything a working parent needs, the employer can sign up to the platform and offer that as part of their benefits package, I guess. And she said that the company she used to work for had called a springboard opportunity. And if you had a business idea, they're an investment firm anyway, I think, but if you had a business idea that you thought had legs, you could go into their springboard program. They would support you, I guess, in writing a business plan, or I suppose just fleshing out what this business meant. And then don't quote me on it, might have listened to the podcast when it comes out, if it's a viable business, they would help you go and launch it, which is exactly what she did. And she now runs her own Parent Cloud business because her employer gave her the tools and support to say, actually, you're a great employee, we'd love to keep you, of course, but if you've got something you'd rather be doing, or that you can really make a difference and have a purpose, then we're here to help you do that too. So that's also very, very forward thinking, and not something I've come across at all, I think, apart from when she mentioned it as her experience. So
probably because the fear from the employers of losing you as an asset to the business. But the reality is, if an employer loses you mentally, you've gone anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you better off having honest conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, you saying that, I'm imagining myself in this next role, which is in the wellness industry. Mm-hmm. You know, if you could even say to employees, hey, if you come up with an idea that's aligned to what we do, maybe a separate product, mm-hmm. maybe a slightly different service, mm-hmm. but we'll look at it, we'll consider it, we'll think about investing. How forward thinking is that, actually?
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic idea.
I think there was a Richard Branson quote today that I saw, again, on LinkedIn, so very timely for the conversation. Again, I'll probably misquote it, but you'll get the idea. Mm-hmm. It was about you develop your people to want to be part of the company. Well, I've completely misquoted it now. Basically, the gist was you support them enough that they could leave and do something better, but you nurture them so much they don't want to leave, basically. So you make them better people so they could go and do everything, anything they want, and they could fly, but you create such a wonderful environment for them to work in that they don't actually want to leave in the first place. Mm-hmm. So that is entirely not how, as he said it, but you get the general gist of what I was trying to explain.
Get the drift, yeah. And he's a man who should know.
Well, he should know. He should know. So you just mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, just before we started recording, you mentioned, which I think is a very interesting point, you're going to tell me about it, is you polled your children, you told me, about your parenting.
Putting yourself out there, isn't it, really? Yeah. I should say to your children, hey, how was my parenting style for you? But one thing that I will say, I've done a lot wrong as a parent, I was about to say. I've done things that I would do differently.
That's a better way to put it.
Yeah. You know, you will always beat yourself up about certain things, whether it's, you know, the school play, sports day, being away from home, whatever it may be. We've all been there, I'm sure. But one thing that I have always done is be open to honest conversations with the children.
Yeah.
So whatever it is they were bringing to the table, I would listen, generally without judgment, and generally reassure them that, you know, someone else would have done it before them. So as a consequence of that, my children, who I still call the kids, mm-hmm. and they would probably kill me for even saying that in public, are actually 23 to 33 years of age. You know, they really are fully fledged grown in their own right. So I sort of put the question to them, overall, do you feel that the parenting style that we had was okay? Hmm. Two of them came back and said yes, and the third one came back and said better, much better than okay.
Oh, excellent.
Quite happy with that. Would you have preferred me to have been a stay-at-home mum? Because if I'm honest, some of the time I would have preferred me to have been a stay-at-home mum. Mm. I really would have loved the luxury of, or what I perceive as a luxury of dedicated parenting time without any distractions. All three of them came back and said no hesitation at no point. You know, and even now, as they've you know, found their feet, they're not looking back and wishing I was there more.
Yeah.
Now you read that any way you like. They didn't want me there anymore than I already was.
Not physically there. You might be, obviously you were mentally there, emotionally and spirit and everything else was there. So even physically you might have been absent at some point, but that was fine because mentally they knew you were there.
And I was lucky because there were grandparents around as well as nannies, you know, childcare, childminders, nurseries, all of that. Lots of after school classes. And then the other thing that I was interested to know is how did they think that their parenting style would differ to ours? Open question, or what would you do differently? And one of them said, they wished we'd done more in terms of sports. Well, that's fine. I was probably more of a reader and a painter and a bit more of a crafty type parent than a sporty parent. However, mm-hmm. two out of the three are very, very sporty, as mm-hmm. it happens. Mm-hmm. So they've found their own way anyway.
Yeah, which they do.
Another one would have, we have conversations about pensions and investments and mm-hmm. things like that. One of them said would have been better to have that conversation even earlier.
Okay, yeah.
So start talking about real life money, not, you know, math that we learn at school, but real yeah. life, how we budget and all
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
And then the one of the other, or the eldest child, the eldest daughter said, still with boundaries, but a few less rules. Which led to me saying, as I've always said, well, you were my experiment. You come first. Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way it goes. The eldest two maintain that the third one got away with murder.
Yes,
all,
yes. Again, no, standard youngest child phenomenon.
Absolutely. So they all concluded that they were happy with the way it was done, and that actually they felt that the three of them were parented a little bit differently to each other.
Okay, yep, yep.
Again, it's an inevitability, isn't it?
Because yeah, of course. And you've got quite a big gap, I suppose. Well, not massive gap, but a bigger gap between your top two.
About five or six between them all.
Right? Yeah.
The oldest is 10 years older than the youngest.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's quite a big gap in terms of how they would react to a new baby when you're a sort of 10, 11-year-old. It's going to be very different to how you react to your baby when you're 3 or 4 years old. It's, you know, you're in a complete different phase of your life, obviously. So, yeah, there's bound to be very, very differing dynamics between the three of them. Just fascinating, I think. I think it's fascinating looking at siblings.
Absolutely. Yeah, look at your own relationship with your siblings and then look at your children. And, absolutely. And they've got, you know, very different perspectives on something. Yeah. Very similar perspectives on other, but the three fabulous independent adults who've each had different experiences. And I think with children, even if you've got them in the same room and you think you're doing the same thing, they will be experiencing it differently anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. They're perceiving it in a very different way because they'll have their own values, won't they?
Yeah.
Entirely separate to their sibling, entirely separate to you. However young they are, they're already forming their values and their experiences and their beliefs and their everything else is going to be, hence perception of whatever happens to them will be very different.
Mm. So I think, you know, ultimately, open, honest conversation, listen. I think when I was young, my dad would, there's no other way of saying it really other than he would come down like a ton of bricks. Mm. If you did something wrong, even if it was fairly trivial, you know, you would know about it, and sometimes he would even not speak to me perhaps for a couple of days. You know, there was some really not great parenting demonstrated. I think for me, however worried you might be with some of the things, particularly as, you know, children are growing up and they're out in the world and stuff's happening, however worried you might be, however you might not quite agree with what they've done, never make it feel as if you know, they've upset you, they jarred with your value, they've got something to be ashamed about, because if you do that, you won't hear about the other things that go on down the line. You just won't.
Well, I think that's so important now more than ever, I suppose, with the world we live in now, where they're exposed to so much, obviously digitally and beyond. And my oldest is going to big school, senior school in September. And she's been in a very, very small school up till now. Just that's the way it's been. Now she's going to a big 180 kids in her year school. So fairly sort of standard. But she's going to have a lot to deal with. She's going to have a lot of experiences she's not been used to. And I want her to have, as you said, have the confidence and the freedom that she can talk to us about anything she wants to. And it's only by having those conversations now and setting those foundations, I know that will happen, I hope, more. Again, you do your best, don't you? You just try and do your best and hope they'll be okay, really.
Absolutely. And I think that's where the, not that we always want to do it, and certainly I didn't, I'm quite partial to a television dinner sometimes.
Yep.
But at the time that you sat around the dinner table, that's the time when you can ask the questions.
Yeah.
Just get used to asking open questions and pausing and waiting for the answer. I do, however, subsequently know from my adults that I've raised that in conversation with each other, there are things they did not tell me at the time.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
Yeah.
Because there was other stuff that they, you know, didn't want to. They told each other, they told a friend, they told someone else, they got through it. It was a bit too naughty and they thought they couldn't even, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So also don't be surprised if you don't know the absolute everything.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Just give the opportunity for any problems to be shared, I guess, where we were at.
Yeah, and like you say, as long as they share it with somebody they trust and somebody who can help them through it, it might not be us, but it might be somebody else, that's fine. As long as they feel confident enough to be able to talk about what's going on for them, I think that's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so I think we've probably, as always, almost an hour has whizzed by, talking about all these amazing things. So thank you so much for being on, for sharing your own parenting experiences and having three adults now, as you say. You've been through it, so it's certainly really valid information to share. And also for talking to you about the kind of, I suppose, the self-employed angle and being entrepreneurial and working for yourself and how important that is for people and actually how accessible it is. And we can all follow our dreams, can't we, and make things happen if we just have the confidence to do it.
Absolutely. If there's an opportunity to do something, take that opportunity. Don't let that fear get in the way.
Yeah.
Find people who will be pro what you're doing and support you, and you can make the change.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree. So what's the best, if anyone wants to get hold of you, Sue, for anything, maybe for franchising opportunities or some discussion about being self-employed, what's the best way to find you? Where can they find you?
Yeah, if anybody wants to just chat about franchising, I'm always open to a conversation. I don't charge to just have a chat with someone and give helpful advice. So they can look at growthcounty.co.uk and find contact information there. And indeed, if you type into Google Sue Moore with an E, Cheshire, you should find me on LinkedIn and be able to send me a message as well.
Perfect. That's great. I think my husband will definitely be in contact within the next year or so as he sort of works out his next steps potentially.
Anytime, because it's helpful to find the right match within franchising as well once you decide you're going to do it. Well, thanks very much. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you.
It's been great.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Really good.
And keep listening, and there'll be more podcasts that are coming out week by week. So, yeah, absolutely.
I can't wait to hear the next one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sue. Take care. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Parent Equation. And please remember to hit subscribe, and also it'd be great if you could leave a review. Thanks so much, and see you next time.